And this is Morning Edition on WPR News. I'm Robin Washington in Superior. Wisconsin's 25th Senate District covers the far northwest portion of the state. It was long held by Democrats until flipping to the GOP with the election of Republican Romaine Quinn in 2022. With maps redrawn again, Quinn is running for the neighboring 23rd District Senate seat, leaving two Republicans to face off for the open 25th District in the August 11th primary. Former State Representative Angie Sapik of Layton Bagamon and former State Rep. Eric Severson of Horse Creek. The candidates are joining us in separate interviews on Morning Edition, with Severson here with us now. A medical doctor, Severson was born in Duluth and earned his bachelor's from the University of Minnesota Duluth and his MD from the Mayo Medical School. He has been an emergency room physician in Osceola and served two terms in the legislature, representing the 28th District from 2011 to 2015. He and his wife, Katie Severson, have three children. Welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio, Eric Severson.
Hey, hello, Robin. Nice to be here.
So we'll begin with, what is your single biggest priority and how do you propose to solve it in the legislature?
The single biggest priority is, it's simple. You know, I hear it all the time going around and talking to people as I knock on doors. And that is this 400-year property tax increase that Evers put in. We just got to overturn that immediately upon getting elected here and into the Senate. That's the number one thing that has to happen. People who aren't fixed incomes can't afford to have their property taxes going up for the rest of their life.
The 25th District borders two of the three neighboring states of Wisconsin where marijuana is legal. That means residents are literally driving across our roads to spend money at dispensaries on the border. Should Wisconsin stem this outflow of cash and legalize pot, or take a lesser action, such as allowing medicinal use?
We have to do a lot more research into what marijuana does. For a long time, you know, this has been one of the scheduled medications, and so there hasn't been any testing done on it. We know that if someone's doing alcohol, at what level their blood alcohol can be at where they can legally drive. We don't really understand that at all about marijuana. As a medical doctor, in the first 10 years that I worked as a doctor, I saw schizophrenia less than five times, and I could count them on one hand. Since people started using a lot more marijuana, I'm seeing a lot more schizophrenia. And there have been studies that have come out to show that this is connected directly to marijuana use. And I think that until we can actually do some more further studying and have more information, I don't think we should just be jumping in and saying, hey, this is a good thing because we can make money off of it. This has long-term health consequences to people's lives.
During Superior days, the city of Superior has lobbied to the state for a food and beverage tax similar to that across the border in Duluth to help fund an exhibition center that can capture state conventions that are currently too large for the city. Do you support this effort?
Well, I don't actually know exactly what they're doing in Duluth. You know, it's always a good idea, I think, if we had some sort of tax decreases so that it would make things less expensive for businesses to be running. But if this is a tax increase that people have to pay higher taxes for their food so that they can build a building, then no, I would not. I don't think I would be supporting that.
The city of Port Washington is embroiled in a controversy over a planned AI data center with concerns about land and water use. The city of Superior and others have enacted moratoriums on creating new centers. Would you seek a statewide moratorium? If so, how long should it last?
Honestly, I don't think anybody knows all the answers about data centers. But I think data centers comes down to two main questions. And that is, one, where is all the electricity going to come from? Who's paying for it? If you've got to build a whole new power plant to get the electricity to these data centers, and building that causes the taxpayer or the other customers' electricity to pay higher rates of electricity, then I just can't see how that is helping anyone. And I would be completely against that. But then you touched on the other aspect of all this needs to be cooled down. And if they're heating up a lot of water and dumping it into rivers or lakes that are killing all the fish, then obviously I think everyone's against that. They can find out some way that they're cooling it, you know, through a coolant system that they've got on their own property again, then possibly. But again, that ends up using a lot more electricity also. So you end up kind of in this spot where, well, who's going to pay for this? And if we're going to put it onto all the customers, then I'm certainly not for that. Certainly not for that. My gut right now would tell me no on having these data centers. So, but I'd want to have a lot more information. I don't want to just go based off of my feelings or emotions.
Whether data centers are built or not, AI isn't going anywhere. AI engines like ChatGPT are notorious for giving wrong information, which the industry calls hallucinations, like citing court cases or books that don't exist. Should companies be held liable when their creations cause harm by providing patently false information?
Yeah, I think that that's actually something that really should be looked into. I mean, if AI is creating harm, then you know that's exactly where the government should be stepping in. We should be protecting people's life, their liberty, and their property. And so, yeah, if AI is doing something that's threatening that to any people, any person, or taking life, liberty, or property from any person, then yeah, that's exactly where the government should be stopping and saying, hey, the thing that you have developed is doing things that are illegal. You're going to have to be responsible for that.
A scarcity of defense lawyers in the region means people can be jailed awaiting trial because there's no one to represent them, as is guaranteed by law. Would you be in favor of increased funding for defense lawyers? And if so, what would you cut?
If we were going to have more defense lawyers, yeah, I mean, we might have to actually fund them higher. But we'd also have to look and say, for what reason do we not have defense lawyers? Is it because of the pay? Is it because it's just the way the system is set up? Yeah, I think that I'd look and say, yeah, maybe we do need to fund some of that in a different way. I think that also we'd have to look on the state government side. We really should be looking into fraud and waste and abuse that's going on in the state of Wisconsin. I think we could find a lot of money there. We just look at our neighboring state of Minnesota and I think we all know the stories of what has happened there over the last couple of years with fraud. And I think that if we were willing, unlike Governor Tony Evers has not been willing to actually dig into that, but if Tom Tiffany becomes governor, we will be auditing every single department of the state. And I think we could have a lot of money there that we could be able to use in many different ways, including giving it back to the people.
We've been speaking with former state representative Eric Severson of Horse Creek. He faces another former state representative, Angie Sapik of Lake Nabagamon, in Republican primary for the soon-to-be-open 25th Senate District seat on August 11th. Thank you for joining us, Eric Severson.
Thanks, Robin. Have a great day.
You can hear our interview with candidate Sapik and those of other contested primary races at WPR.org. I'm Robin Washington in Superior. This is Morning Edition on WPR News.